And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
A little nervous. Admittedly, a little nervous, Blake.
Why? Is it because Wimby might take down the Knicks?
I'm nervous because there's a 7'4", the greatest athlete of any sport on the planet is waiting.
Okay, calm down.
Don't act like, brother, he's not supposed to move like that.
You think he's a better athlete than LeBron? I don't think he's like a better athlete than LeBron.
In a vacuum.
Okay.
For the fact that he is 7'4", and that he moves like he is 6'3", yes, I think that he is the best.
All right,
I'm not saying that LeBron's more athletic when he was younger, was more athletic, but I'm talking about in the lens of how rare he is for how big
he is. He is very rare. The step back jumper from, 42 foot out?
In game one,
that's ridiculous. Hold on. Like, Joe, that's ridiculous. I don't care.
That's going to be a shot that I think like in 30 years from now, you'll be saying, I remember when Wemby hit that shot in game one of the Western Conference.
I'm still old enough to remember when the entire bar went ludicrous in game seven when I was in college. Or just getting out of college, and he came from behind and blocked a shot on Andre Iguodala, and the whole bar just went.
I remember that too. You know, that one will be seared in my brain as well. It's up there with that.
Oh, absolutely. But the Knicks, as you can tell, is just team. So, yes. Hey, here's the good news. You actually now have a team that might win a championship because Notre Dame hasn't done it.
No, because I know how this works. Blake, I know how this works. One of my teams has been to two championships, and they got beat both times. So I know how this works. The only times that I've watched championships is when the Giants won it when I was much younger. But I know how it works, man. I'm gonna be upset. That's why I'm nervous.
Well, I said this before we get to some football here. LSU baseball not being in has kind of been, obviously I want them to be there because we'd be live and you remember last offseason. Being able to just sit back and watch baseball has been somewhat nice and not having any stress. I mean, it's been somewhat nice. Now I miss them playing, but
yeah,
same time it's been kind of nice a little bit, but nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting in the like and share to all those groups. We're not on Facebook. We will be on the 4th or 5th, whichever one. So we're almost done here. But do us a favor. If you're on YouTube, share it to Facebook. We're unable to do that. Subscribe down below. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Hit the notification bell as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're watching on the 24/7 Sports Twitter page, do us a favor and hit that retweet button as well. Speaking of champions, Joe, boy, do we got to get into this. Shots being fired. Punches being thrown, Texas and Texas Tech. We actually talked about this on Wednesday as Steve Sarkisian came out and said that his twos and threes at Texas could win the Big 12 and that their schedule was soft. Now, you and I discussed this. I came at it from a different angle and saying I thought he was talking more to the College Football Playoff Committee than he was actually trying to go after Texas Tech. But obviously, Texas Tech didn't see it that way because, of course, they didn't. And they started firing back. Coach Joey McGuire had some interesting words we'll get into here, basically in a nutshell, saying, well, let's line it up in week one. The super booster, Cody Campbell, came out and said, well, we will pay, which I got a whole rant for that in and of itself, that Texas Tech will pay Abilene Christian and Texas State and buy them out in week one so that Texas and Texas Tech can play in week one. Joe, there's so much unpacked here. I'm just going to kick it over to you. Pretty much everybody knows what's going on. But as many layers as this has like an onion, I mean, I don't really know how Texas can back out of this now. You can't call somebody out and then not do it. And you know what you also can't do? You can't sit behind the we play Ohio State in week two as well. So what are your thoughts on this Texas Tech, Texas situation that we have brewing?
So bear with me with this. I think that there's multiple angles to look at this from. From the Texas Tech side of things, this is a galactic brain chess move by Joey McGuire. Because at the end of the day, Texas isn't going to play this game. And it has nothing to do with cowardice. To go out of his way to make all of these moves, to make all of these statements, and to know that Texas, with an already incredibly difficult schedule, is not going to counter and decide to play you, is a brilliant move by Joey McGuire. He makes Sark look soft. He calls him out, something that he can use as ammunition on the recruiting trail, because they're starting to butt heads for the same recruits these days with the five stars that Texas Tech has been pulling. It is a really, really brilliant move because literally Texas can't do anything. But on the other side of this, why the heck would Texas schedule this game? Why would they even consider it? There is zero value in them playing Texas Tech in week one. They already play the hardest schedule for 2026. They may not be scared of Texas Tech, but why would they endure another difficult game when the Texas State game is the type of game that you need as your preseason game in order to get warmed up for the year? If Joey McGuire was really serious about this, Blake, he would have called Ohio State. He would have offered to play the game in Austin, at Texas. Instead, he offered to come to Lubbock or to play at AT&T Stadium. If you're serious about this, call Ryan Day. Again, I'm giving him credit for doing what he did, Blake, because it puts Sark in a really bad spot. But if you really wanted to play him, call Ryan Day. Move the Ohio State game if you really wanted to do this.
All right. So there's multiple layers to this. Number one, I still stand by that Sarkisian, although taking a shot at Texas Tech, was not necessarily what he was going after. I don't want to go into the us fighting over the semantics again about should have Texas gotten in versus, you know, I don't want to do that. I have my own thoughts. You have your own thoughts. Regardless, his statements had nothing to do, in my humble opinion, really with Texas Tech. He was able to take a shot of them at them in the process, just like he did Ole Miss. So, with that being said, there are multiple layers. In reference to Texas Tech, I agree. Now, I didn't really come at it from the angle of, well, call Ohio State. But they don't. This is a PR stunt and a PR move by them. You mean to tell me that Brendan Sorsby, who we will talk about here tonight, who is probably and more than likely not going to play, Will Hammond is out. You don't know about your quarterback situation and you want to line it up. Okay, you can say that. It's like two guys in the bar who bump into one another when you're passing through the bathroom and you're like, what up? What up? Texas Tech, you got both cast on two hands. You better not start throwing punches because you're going to get whooped. I don't think they want to play this game either. They are moving and playing a PR stunt here because, Joe, the worst thing that can happen, and I mean the absolute worst thing that can happen, is that they do schedule this game and Texas blasts them. It's the worst thing that can happen for the Big 12, even though in their quote-unquote spring meetings, Brett Yormark came out and said they were the deepest conference in the country. Yeah, no, you're not. You're not remotely close. I got to be real with you. You're the fourth Power Four team in all of this when it comes to collective power. So please spare me while Miami is rolling. However, and everything I feel like I just stated is true. I feel like it's a PR stunt, but that's the one prong to it. They do want to get their name out there for recruiting. It does make them look like, to your point, in recruiting, hey, man, we didn't back down. We're giving you the most money and we're not backing down. So come on over to Lubbock where we don't back down. You're right. However, Texas can't back down now. You can't back down. You're going to have it is going to look and be a black eye if you don't schedule this and lose to Ohio State, because Texas Tech is going to take a victory lap. There's nobody on their schedule remotely close to the athleticism and talent that Texas and Ohio State has. It's not close. They play one of the weakest schedules in the country. So even if they lost, they can win their conference and get in. You know that, and I know that. But it looks around the nation that you are going to be soft and say, well, we play Ohio State in week two. We got to get ready for that game too. But here's the thing. This is the second time Sark has taken a shot, quote unquote, directly or indirectly at a school. Now, are you going to reprimand him? That's the whole thing you said with Lane Kiffin, by the way. So I'm just going to throw that out there. You can't back down because it makes you look soft. And if you want to do that, by all means, just don't respond, by all means. But there's a third prong to this that I take a little bit of an issue with. How in the hell is a booster allowed to go out there and pay out teams like Cody Campbell is suggesting, and we are allowing that? If he is going to pay out Abilene and Texas State, does no one else see this as a problem? Now, I'm not taking a shot at McAfee, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Cody Campbell, because that doesn't really matter. But I keep hearing people come at me and say the portal's a problem. I keep coming here and seeing people tell me NIL is a problem. No, a booster just went out there and went to Texas and say, I'll buy this out for you if y'all play. No one sees that as a problem. Now, as a fan, and here's the truth, as someone who covers the sport, Joe, could you imagine us getting another week one game? I mean, Texas and Texas Tech would make week one so much better for us. So don't get me wrong. As a football fan, I want that to happen. But we got to pull that layer of the onion back and say, if he's willing to pay out for Texas and Texas Tech to play, which who knows if he really would, I'm sure that he would if it came down to it so he didn't have to back down. Does nobody see it as an issue that a booster can just go out there and do that? And here's the thing that I kept thinking about when he kept tweeting and he went on McAfee. If you're going to be able to do that in public and pay that, what are you doing with Joey McGuire in recruiting? And we're just going to sit here and act as if that this guy can have carte blanche and do whatever he wants. I'm sorry, Joe, I will go down, and I may be in the very small minority here. I will go down kicking and screaming. I don't like a booster being able to go on Twitter and say, well, basically, I'll pay it out. Because, again, you're setting something up that let the school settle this. It's between two coaches. Stop interfering for Joey McGuire. If they want to set it up, let them set it up. So the three prongs. Texas Tech, this is a PR stunt. You're going to get clobbered. But number two, Texas can't back down. And quite honestly, I don't know if it's the right thing to have a booster out there saying that he's going to dictate what can and can't happen at Texas Tech.
I agree with you on the Cody Campbell thing because – and I don't have any issues with Cody Campbell.
I don't either.
I think that it's good for college football having passionate and excited boosters that are around the sport and around teams, especially a brand like Texas Tech that has the opportunity to continue to grow and become one of the top teams in the sport. And I absolutely, we've said on the show, I think that they are on that trajectory 1,000% to become the team that runs the Big 12 and the team that goes to the college football playoff and then eventually could be a team that does win games. They're just not fully there yet, but that's not the point here. It really should be talked about how wrong it is that Cody Campbell can just so publicly talk about this. He doesn't own the team. He is not an NFL owner. He is a guy who donates to the football program. How does he have this much power? I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong that he's offering to buy the games out. I am just perplexed by how have we gotten to this point where this guy has so much control and it's completely unchecked. Is that how this works? This, I think, is the firmest proof that the sport is off the rails. Why we need this damn bill to go through that is on the table, because booster involvement is at the worst that it's ever been.
Right.
And Cody Campbell, while it's not in a malicious intention, how does he have that much power? And how are we just not acknowledging it as if there's something wrong? To repeat what I said, He does not own Texas Tech University. He does not own Texas Tech football. He is an alumni that is very passionate, that is throwing his money around publicly. It feels really, really, really weird. And I don't know how to fully articulate why I think that this is bad, but it just does not seem like something that should be possible when he does not have direct investment or involvement financially with the football program. The only return that he gets if they win is satisfaction. So how is he able to be this involved?
Well, let's just be honest. Okay. How did Brendan Sorsby get there? I mean, that's in your own conference. And with all due respect, this isn't just a Cody Campbell thing. You had two massive boosters at Miami and at Texas Tech that went inside their own conference and stole a quarterback in Darian Mensah and Brendan Sorsby. Regardless if Sorsby is eligible or not, ever takes plays a snap for Texas Tech, I don't care. But how are we there? How are we in this situation? There is too much overreach. I mean, the AD has got to come down and say, Cody, like, hey, man, I get it. Thank you. Let Joey McGuire go out there and say that we will pay the buyout because it's two coaches coming in. You know what else it looks like? It looks like you're overstepping and standing in front of your coach, trying to be in the middle of it so that you get some kind of reward for it.
Yeah.
I mean, and so there has always been banter in sports. When is a super fan who spent a lot of money for something like this been this involved? Now, you can say what happens in the NBA. You can say because Drake's always on at courtside. Like, I get that, but he doesn't own the team. This isn't like Drake's not in the middle of a beef between SGA and Wimby. You know, like those things aren't happening. It is bad for the sport because this is what the normal fan, the logical fan will think. The logical fan will think, if you're going to do this in public, what do you do behind closed doors? At least that's what I thought.
And we're not accusing of him of anything, no, but that's the really good point is if you're willing to manipulate the situation for this, what do we not know about? And this isn't directly about Cody Campbell, by the way. This is not what we're saying. This is not directed at Cody Campbell. It's
the Nico Iamalava situation, the Miami situation, and now this. I mean, Joe, you want everybody keeps talking about the players and the players being a problem. Texas Tech got funded by this singular guy. So who is a real issue? So everybody wants to point one at one specific problem with the sport. Newsflash, they're not funding themselves. Players are not funding themselves. Just newsflash to everybody on how this works. Miami's not funding themselves. The guy who got arrested at Miami two decades ago is funding the team now for exactly what he went to jail for. Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? So that's the whole part. Now, to get to football, Joe, Texas Tech can't play this game. I'm sorry. They can take the PR move and say, oh, yeah, of course, we're going to play this game. We didn't back down. They can show it in recruiting that they're not going to back down. You will get blasted.
But here's the thing, and this is why I agree with you. You don't have a quarterback. Sorsby's not going to play. There's optimism that Will Hammond might be available, but I feel like we're not going to know. Why do I feel like this is going to be a Cam Rising situation with Will Hammond, by the way?
Well, how many? Oh, God, that's a great point.
Because it sounds almost too good to be true that he's ready to go after suffering a knee injury in the middle of the year. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe he'll be fine. It's always totally hit or miss. That's what I'm getting at here is that we don't know. Maybe, and I'm going to bring this up in the next segment, maybe they go and try and bring somebody in the transfer portal that's still available, which Teron Dickens, who was committed to North Carolina, re-entered the portal. Maybe they go after someone like that. Maybe he's able to help them. It doesn't matter. It's week one. You play this game, to your point, as good as the rest of the roster is, they've got a pretty good roster. I don't think that they would be able to play this game competitively. I don't. I don't think that they would be able to. But the problem is, why would Sark fall for this? And why would he willingly play this game?
Like, no.
Why would he do that?
Well, tell me what it benefits Texas.
It doesn't benefit them at all, except for you don't want to look soft.
No, you don't want to look soft. Now, here's the other part of this. You can't kind of back down now. You can't go to the bar, puff your chest out, and say R2s will beat you and beat everybody in that conference and then back down. So they're in between a rock and a hard place. They're going to take a black eye regardless. So can I be blunt with you? Schedule it. Yeah. They don't have
a quarterback. I want him to because it would be a really fun headline, no. And I think it would be really fun to talk about.
Can I be completely honest with you? I mean, at what point do you look at this and say, yes, they're a good team and they will challenge us. But at the same time, if you can't get to their quarterback, whoever in the God blessed it is, if you lose, I mean, Joe, you know, I got to be real with you. If I'm Brett Yermark, I don't know if I don't step in and say, don't do it. Because let me tell you what the worst thing that can happen here for both teams. The worst thing that can happen for Texas is that this is a close game. You get beat up. You go up against Ohio State and you lose. It's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah.
But the worst ramification of all of this really would come down to Texas Tech. If you go out against two P4 opponents that are in the SEC and the Big Ten and you can't score hardly any points, people are going to look at you and say you shouldn't be in the playoff. I mean, so that's kind of why I want it. I don't care that the team's in the SEC. To your point, call Ohio State and do it.
Right. If you really meant business and you were as serious about this as you claim, you would set up Texas in a situation where they can't say no. They can say no to this still. They would look the way that you want them to, where they look cowardly, but they're not being cowardly. They're just being intentional and not getting completely duped into doing this. If you really wanted to play them, you absolutely would call Ryan Day. And here's the thing, Blake, and credit to the guys in the Discord who tagged this in a graphic of like the hardest schedules or easiest paths to the playoff, whatever it was. Ohio State has one of the hardest schedules in the Big Ten this upcoming year. I bet Ryan Day would think pretty long and hard about if he'd be willing to move and schedule Oregon State, swap opponents, play Oregon State, who's supposed to be Texas Tech's opponent.
They're not doing it.
Ohio State's not doing it?
No. They're, hold on. There's no team that plays a massive week one or week two game that would schedule the weaker of the two opponents for Texas Tech, regardless. Because although I think they would get absolutely destroyed by all of the premier playoff teams, why would they do that? And here's another thing that I've kind of been talking about on AYS, not really here. You know what another thing that no one's talking about with Texas, that it's not significant, so don't be like, oh my God, here goes Blake. You do know Arch missed all of the spring, right? People do realize that he did have surgery. Right. Like there's Joe. I've had multiple ones, have one here on my hand, have two on my knee. It's not as simple as just going back and being exactly ready to go. That's not how that works. And at quarterback, I can only imagine. Now Arch is going to be completely fine. You don't want Arch taking a beating before he's got to go up against Ohio State. Why would you? And you got a whole offensive line that you got to reconvene. You got timing with Cam Coleman. It makes zero sense for them. Again, you look really soft, but it makes zero sense. Zero. There's nothing plausible that comes out of this for them. No. Because you know what happens, by the way? You know what our narrative, we talk about this during the season. What's the next week's narrative if this team wins or loses? Texas did exactly what they were supposed to do to Texas Tech. They didn't have a quarterback. Right. Brendan Sorsby's not there. What do you win? Outside of in-state Texas bragging rights, what do you really win?
Well, and also a middle finger toward, right, that Texas Tech has everything to gain from if this did come together and they did play one another in this, in the parameters that were established to them, they would have everything to gain because it would bolster their resume. It would bolster their schedule. Even if they lost the game and the defensively, they do have a pretty good defense coming back next year. If they kept mm-hmm. low scoring, but lost by 17 points, theoretically, like that is how much of a blowout I think it would be if it was one and it was lopsided. If that came to fruition, it looks really good on their resume. If Texas Tech beats Texas Tech, to your point, a lot of people are just going to go, well, they were supposed to do that. They were better than Texas Tech. Texas Tech didn't have a quarterback.
I'm going to be screaming from the rafters, we got to get rid of AQs. And I know that you yell at me about that, but you can't go up against two premier, a Big Ten and SEC team and lose. Not like that. They ain't going to win. I mean, look, we talk about all of these things. Or, well, Blake, you don't really know what would happen. Yeah, I have a pretty good idea when you're starting quarterback situations in complete dog doo-doo.
If they had Sorsby, I think this might be a different discussion. Oh, but to your point, it's that bad because we don't know. And we don't know what the deal is with Hammond.
Well,
who's QB3?
Well, just time out for just a moment quickly, okay? Remember Michigan 2 years ago? Remember when they started a walk-on?
Yeah.
Remember when they had 9 draft picks? So when you have a bad quarterback situation, it doesn't matter how much talent you have if you can't throw the football.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter. So anyway, it is what it is there. All right. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Also, we're glad to be powered by our good friends over at 24/7 Sports. Joe, our entire team was out at the Elite 11 this week. Mm. Tom Loy, Andrew Ivins, and the gang have their rankings coming in. A lot of videos being published on 24/7 Sports today. So use that promo code RJ60 for 60% off of your annual VIP membership. A lot of shakeup might be coming to 24/7 based off of this weekend at the quarterback situation. A lot of young men are taking visits, official and unofficial visits. Where is your current team standing? Get over to 24/7 Sports. Use that promo code today to get 60% off of your annual, VIP membership. All right, Joe, speaking of Texas Tech, let's get to this. So Brendan Sorsby has been officially denied by the NCAA in reference to gaining back his eligibility, something that you and I all, or pretty much everybody, knew about. Now, CBS Sports, our partners over at CBS, are reporting there are more things that are coming out into this. CBS Sports is reporting that Sorsby placed over 40 bets while at Indiana on Indiana. Joe, the case starts soon. I just don't see an avenue where this goes. Now, here's where things are starting to get interesting. CBS spoke with his attorney and Kessler. He is providing documentation to multiple media outlets that the NCAA has taken financial benefits from gambling institutions and calling them hypocrites. Now, I know that you and I sit on the same side here. Yeah. I do find that highly interesting to see how that does play out. How do you deny someone when you're taking money from the same stuff? However, the 40 bets being placed on Indiana football while he's there has got to be a death knell here, right?
I think that it is. And to what Kessler's doing, it's how desperate they are.
Yes.
They have to knock down the integrity of their opponent in this situation. They're trying to prove that the current growth, rapid growth of the gambling industry has happened too quickly. And he even kind of took a shot in the claim that the NCAA has not done a good enough of a job of keeping up with that rapid growth. That is what they have to resort to. If Sorsby had not placed a single bet on college football, and this had been a circumstance where he was betting on other sports and he was just really couldn't control himself, I do think that there maybe could be a case off of that premise. But Blake, 40 bets on Indiana football is not a whoopsie-daisy happenstance where he just happened to do it and he couldn't really control himself and then he stopped himself or whatnot. I thought it was going to be a couple bets. 40 over the course of a season? That's multiple per game that he's putting down. He wasn't in Indiana that long. But here was the one detail that I actually didn't know when I was reading an ESPN article. He became aware that he placed bets on Indiana's, the quarterback who was starting, not him, Indiana's quarterback's passing yards, the under on passing yards, and the first half under in 2023. He only became aware of those bets after the betting data was made available from the investigation. I'm actually dumbfounded that that was an admission. You're telling me that he didn't know that he did something as severe? You can't bet on a prop bet for the guy who's starting over you under on passing yards. There's a reason why this is so egregious. What if the game plan that he knew was that they were going to run the ball and they didn't trust the starter? What if he knew that the guy ahead of him
was hurt, had
a banged up finger or something like that going into the week? I'm throwing in hypotheticals. That's why there are regulatory bodies for this stuff. It's insider trading. It's not that he's got some advantage over the everybody else and it's unfair. The potential slippery slope for this to go down that results in him impacting the outcome of a game is seriously bad. Like, at the end of the day, outside of that, the NCAA, and I think that the NCAA's case is going to really hinge on this argument. The chain reaction outside of just the NCAA and Brendan Sorsby in the NFL, the NBA, MLB, professional sports across the country, if they are forced to be lenient by this court, it will cause catastrophic damage across the board. Because then these leagues will not be able to hold players accountable when they do similar or worse things. They, when I read that, Blake, I was done. I stopped trying to find ways to defend him. He might have an addiction, but that is unacceptable. I didn't realize that it was this bad.
Well, here's the thing. I would still somewhat fight for him if he had placed overs and for them to win. Right? Like, if you would have placed, like, instead of under the first half, over, I still would have been like, okay, he's got some faith in his guy. Now, I'm going to say something that's very insensitive, and probably tomorrow I'm going to walk back, but here's where I sit when I read it. Stop telling me you have a mental health problem, because I don't believe you. You've lied multiple times, and this is unraveling. The more you open your mouth, the bigger hole you dig yourself for anybody in the NFL to trust you. You came out last week, did Sorsby and Kessler, saying, I was doing this to feel closer to my teammates. Remember that statement, Joe? Remember the statement that he said, that I'm doing this? What if your teammate would have known that you were betting him to hit the under and that you were betting on the entire team to not basically score any points in the first half? That's what made you feel closer to your team? That made you feel closer to your team. Stop telling me that you have a mental health problem. Here's what happened, okay? You're an adult now. You're making millions and millions of dollars. So, Joe, I got to be a little blunt with you. It's time for these kitty gloves to come off for just a second. You got caught. You got caught, and you're blaming it on mental health. Joe, let's just be also frank about something. You and I are in the sports world. You and I have friends that place just as many bets as he does. By the way, over 4 years, okay, he bet around $25,000 a year. It's not that significant. Not when he's being paid millions of dollars. The total was $90,000, by the way. Yeah. In 4 years, he placed bets worth $90,000. That's a lot of money. However, he's not losing all of that. He's not
right. Just to jump in on that, to add to that, like, if most people look at their betting history, they've probably bet that much, because every time you throw down a $20 bet. You win one and then you lose one. You keep going back and forth, back and forth. You could easily do $25,000 in a year and come out with $100 in the green.
Without a question. So again, as I suggested to Sorsby and Kessler 3 weeks ago, as Aretha Franklin once said, sometimes saying nothing is better than saying something. It's time to shut up. Because if I'm an NFL GM, and even if I had a quarterback problem, like I'm just going to throw out a random team. Don't come at me for this. Like if I'm Minnesota, you got Kyler Murray, you have JJ McCarthy, why wouldn't I take a flyer? But every time you've opened your mouth, there's no chance. There's 0% chance, Joe, now that I would ever take a chance on you until you could prove to me that you can be okay and not place those bets. You weren't feeling closer to your team. You were placing bets against your team. You want to talk about mental health problems and mental health situations. You're saying that because Cincinnati ratted on you and you got caught. I'm sorry. I don't see it any other way. Now, people who have gone through these things, Joe, you know this more than most about myself. I've been in very bad situations in previous employments. I've seen a lot of bad in this world. But you know what I've also seen? When people get caught, they start lying. So I'm sorry. I feel like somebody's just got to say it. You were continuously placing bets. You were, Joe, I'm just going to say this. I don't know if it ever came out, and this is just an opinion. Did he ever throw a game? Did he ever? Because
there's no evidence to suggest that. So like we can't, I think that would have come out early on in this process.
I don't know because the NCAA just got forced to come out with the 40 bets that they know of at Indiana. What comes out tomorrow?
Because I just don't want to put that accusation out there. I'm not accusing him.
I'm just saying, Do we know? Do we really know? Because I got to be real with you. If you're going to place bets against your team, like this was the whole Pete Rose thing in a nutshell. Okay? You said he's doing the Pete Rose. Joe, newsflash, Pete Rose was going out there and throwing games. I love him to death. I think he's the best hitter of all time. Him and Tony Gwynn are probably the two best pure hitters of all time. He cheated. I mean, so I'm sorry for being, if it comes off as being insensitive, I'm sorry. But I'm just not buying this whole mental health and I'm sorry and I want to play. No, you got caught. You didn't go to the draft. You're not going to get your money. And so now you feel guilty for the entire situation. And let me just say this. When you went to LSU and you leaked, because they leaked it to Ross, like this is over with. This is an opinion. When you leaked to Yahoo Sports what LSU was going to pay you, and when you did that kind of bad stuff to Cincinnati, you made a lot of enemies. And I'm going to leave that there, but you made a lot of enemies. So when people start investigating and asking situations, do you think Cincinnati didn't know? And here's the last thing that I'd say. I'm sorry to say this. If I'm the NCAA, I'm also looking into Indiana and Cincinnati. Because you mean to tell me that this is the first time that this kid is like, this is just the first time on somebody's radar that this is happening. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm calling BS on that too.
I don't know if that like necessarily there's anything to worry about with those football programs. I think a lot of this is on source.
If there's nothing there, great. But there's nothing bad to look into teams. I'm sorry, but you've
just but hold on. But there's one stray kid who's gambling like crazy. Like I said this to you before, I had a teammate who would do it. We would be sitting there. He didn't bet on our games. But you couldn't bet on FCS football games. There were no lines for Rhode Island versus Stony Brook. There were no lines for that. There were a couple times where I was sitting there and we'd be in pregame meal and he'd be sitting there asking me, like, should I take this game? Should I take that game? And I'm thinking to myself, why is that's not allowed? Why are you asking me? Why are you doing this? But there's guys, and it was the only person on the team that was doing that. Someone's singular actions, I don't think, are involved with the rest of those programs. But to your point about the actual validity of his gambling addiction, I think that there's two things that can be true. I think that he absolutely can have an addictive personality, and I think that he definitely got himself over-involved in this, and I think that there is a possible truth to him having some serious problems with self-control. Him going to rehab, I'm not going to discredit those things because we don't know for absolute certainty. But I do agree with you that there's too many contradictions for me to buy his defense. He is going to just have to rest on the fact that he had a gambling addiction. If he truly believes that, and he went and sought treatment, and he's now doing better, and he's not going to get to play another college football game. He needs to come to grips with that reality. Because the contradiction that he has here of him wanting to be closer to his team, but then placing bets against his team, their performance, didn't directly bet against them, but bet against their performance. That's not support. That's not utmost like, man, I don't know who the starting quarterback was ahead of him that year, but man, I really think he's going to kill it against this defense. Man, I can't wait to go see him out there. I'm rooting for my guy. You thought that he wasn't going to perform well enough, so you took the under on his passing yards total. It was in an ESPN article. The fact that you did that, that should have been the shut the book. This is done. He might have had a problem. If he did actually have a problem, it's time to move on, son. You did something that is the biggest no-no in sports. And you're going to have to do a lot of work just to make yourself credible as an NFL player.
Right.
I told you this. Ryan Roberts, my co-host on Best Pod Available. Go check it out on YouTube. About to hit 2,000 subs. He brought up, he spoke to an NFL scout. And that scout told him, Blake, he doesn't think that the NFL is going to even hold the supplemental draft because they're so scared of getting involved with this kid.
So what does he do? Humble me here.
Take a year off. Do what? Who was the Ohio State running back who got suspended? Maurice
Claret.
Maurice Claret. He's going to have to do what Maurice Claret did, or he's going to have to go play NAIA football, JUCO football.
Can I tell you what I do?
What?
I go to Canadian Football League.
I don't know when the season. I think the season already started.
Did it? Okay.
Season starts June 4th. So I don't know if anyone would take him on. I mean, his best possible path would probably be. And I already missed the UFL season.
Yeah, he's probably going to have to sit out. I'm sorry, Joe. I apologize. If it seems as if that I'm being insensitive.
No, you're not. I don't think that you are. And I don't think you need to apologize. I think that you have a legitimate claim here that.
Oh, you keep lying.
A lot of these things don't add up.
So here's the thing that they teach you in interrogations. Okay. So just so everybody understands, I've been in hundreds of classes for interrogations. You know what they tell people in the FBI and CIA is if you got a chat box, let him keep talking because eventually he's going to walk himself into something. Joey keeps talking. He keeps talking and putting himself in horrible situations that are straight lies. I got to be real with you. I see zero remorse. I see a guy that wants to play football. Now, the thing is I don't know if his life should be over. Right? Like, it's not to the point now where I think his life should be over, but man, this is.
No, I don't think that like it's something as reprehensible. He didn't kill someone. We're not looking at it in that lens. Well, and I don't think that he's like a piece of garbage.
Well, hold on.
Like that.
We've had worse dudes do worse stuff that have gotten to play.
Look at Deshaun Watson.
Well, you're innocent until proven guilty. And so,
yeah, I know that that's a whole separate situation, but the whole point with this is that I think that he deserves a second chance. And I think that he deserves a second chance, but you have to earn it. That is where I think that we're lost in all this. He's not, he's just expecting to be handed it back.
He's going to have to go to a state that doesn't permit this. So preferably like a Texas. And he's going to have to go to a foundation, an organization like, I hate to say it like this, because he's not going to play over these guys. He's going to have to go to Baltimore that's got a foundation that quite honestly is in, I mean, Joel, whether it's head coaches, GMs, it's basically unfracturable in a lot of ways.
Well, I think maybe the Steelers would be a good example of a team that needs a quarterback.
I was going to them next. You're going to, like, I even think Seattle. Like, even in their ups and downs, you know, in some instances, their core nucleus stayed there in the front office. And quite frankly, they rebuilt and won a Super Bowl. If he's going to get a second chance, where's a foundation that is so solid? Like, he can't go to Miami.
They're all over the place right now. You can't go to Cleveland.
You can't go to Cleveland. Quite honestly, you can't go to Atlanta. By God means, it's my own state. You can't go to New Orleans. Okay? There's a casino right next to the Dome. You can't go to the Jets. Right. You can't go there. So, again, those are – like, if he's going to get a second chance, it's got to be with one of those organizations. I'm just – I got to be real with you. I don't believe you anymore. And I got to be also blunt, because this is out, if he did commit this, which, by the way, Joe, this is, you can't walk away from this because we know that you place those bets. Unless he's able to provide that he wasn't the one placing them, like Kayshon Boutte did, then this is over. This is over for him. So I guess we'll see. I guess we shouldn't say it's over. I mean, anything can happen in court. Can I ask you this? Because we didn't come down on the NCAA. Do you think that the NCAA should be taking money from gambling institutions? Because I got to be blunt with you. There are two parts of this. I do agree with Kessler. I 1,000% agree with him that I don't think the NCAA, because remember, he confirms here, which I kind of dug into it too, they are taking money from FanDuel. They are taking money from BetMGM. And they are taking money from DraftKings. So I got to be real with you. I do agree with Kessler that you can't be hypocritical here either.
But I just don't know how hypocritical it is for marketing a sports betting entity.
Can I tell you how?
And all the professional leagues are also doing it across the board. It is embedded in sports culture now. I know a lot of people have fatigue with sports betting. It does not mean that you have to partake in it. Alcohol consumption is very, very public, and it is something that is broadcasted on every single sporting event that you will watch out there. It's all out there, alcohol. It doesn't mean you have to drink alcohol. And it doesn't mean that just because certain athletes get DUIs and get pulled over that we have to look at the NFL and say, well, why were you marketing beer when this player got pulled over for a DUI? What's wrong with you? I do agree that there is some hypocrisy, but I don't think it's so vastly hypocritical that it completely devalues them trying to hold players accountable.
Yeah, Bud Light is the number one, or Anheuser-Busch is the number. I mean, their NFL logo is on every Bud Light that you drink. Ask Shane Gillis. I mean, yeah, I'm with you there. I understand. I do find it like hypocrite. I do see the hypocritical nature of it, that you're taking millions and billions of dollars, and yet, you know, but this is a completely different situation. You just can't place bets on your team. All right, let's move forward here. Oh, boy. So, 24/7 Sports, the Colorado edition. Boy, did they make some headlines this week, but had nothing to do with Colorado. As Matt McChesney and the gang had a video with a former Bronco, as McChesney is one along with Eric Weddle, on the 0 to 60 podcast and Buffs Insider, Eric Weddle was on their podcast. Eric Weddle also, which shout out to McChesney and Buff Insider, go over there to their Buff Insider as well. Eric Weddle had a conversation about being at spring practice for the University of Michigan. Joe, I'm sure that everyone's seen this clip, and just to give some headlines on this, basically Eric Weddle came out this week and said at Michigan's spring practice that everyone needs to buckle up and the backups need to be ready because they're going to see action early. He does not believe that Bryce Underwood can throw, nor that he can play quarterback, and he doesn't understand the development that's going on in college right now with quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on Eric Weddle talking about this and talking about a team that I know that his former head coach is now the head coach of Michigan? Is he trying to take a shot at his former head coach because he left Utah? Like, I highly doubt that because he's at spring practice with him, you know?
Right.
But what are your thoughts on him taking some shots at Bryce Underwood?
Blake, I think everybody who's grew up playing sports can relate to this. And anyone who's a father of somebody, a kid who's in AAU and travel ball and all these things can kind of relate to what I'm getting to. Eric Weddle is turned into, seemingly it feels like, that one dad. We all know this one dad where they're so overly confident in their son's performance that they'll take shots for no reason at other kids. They'll also be only focused on what's happening with their kid. They're overly defensive about their kid's performance, all of these things. Gage Weddle is a very highly rated 2028 recruit. And that was part of Weddle's comments, saying that Underwood's going to get benched. And then he followed it by saying, I try to teach Coach Gage, you are a quarterback first who can be an athlete. Now, the funny thing about that is that Gage is not listed as a quarterback recruit. He is listed on 24/7 Sports as a running back. He's also, I believe, also recognized as a potential safety prospect. Like, it really feels like he, out of nowhere, unnecessarily took a shot at Bryce Underwood when he didn't need to. Bryce Underwood might be going through some growing pains, and we've talked about this on the show. We reacted to the spring game. But why are you the father of a recruit who has no involvement with the Michigan football program speaking on Bryce Underwood? Have you been there enough times at these practices? And it's a practice. Like,
talking about
how many times have you been in a practice, whether when you were playing or when you've been going to watch LSU practice, and the quarterbacks just look awful one day and you're just like, man, they can't hit anything today. And then the next day they're unbelievable.
Oh, his name's Jaden Daniels. After day 10, the year he won the Heisman, Joe, he had had a horrible day. But then the next day, he threw 7 interceptions in the scrimmage.
but it's the flow of practice at the Division I level with these guys that are growing and developing is that there's ebbs and flows to it. It's not a game. And Bryce Underwood's a guy who's going to be a gamer. And if he steps up and plays better next year, it's going to be in game settings where his athleticism does take over and he finally starts to show more naturalness in the way that he plays and all that stuff, which kind of goes against what Weddle's comments were, is that don't be so much of an athlete and be more of a quarterback and all that crap. Like, it just feels like he was there knowing that his son is getting recruited and he's like, my son's better than this guy. He would start over him. That was what I got out of this. That's what it felt like. It felt like a jealous parent who didn't need to bring up anything and just felt the need to take a shot. I don't really care. I really don't care what he has to say. I don't think it's a legitimate opinion.
You know that I love you, correct? Okay. Correct? You know that, yeah. I love you.
Sure, sure.
I understand that you're very high on Bryce Underwood, because I am too. Okay?
Not as much as me.
Not as much as you. However, I do think that he has the athletic ability to be the best quarterback in the country. I do. I think he's got every skill set that's needed, athleticism, running ability, throwing ability, and at times, accuracy when he's right. However, Joe, there were situations this spring where I didn't see a quarterback that had made leaps with his footwork. So are we in a situation where two things can be true at once? Does Eric Weddle need to be the one out there when your son's also being recruited and all this different stuff? I don't know, because Eric Weddle also played the game. He also played the game. And he also goes on in the clip to talk about, if you listen to the whole podcast, he goes into this whole situation of just quarterback play in college football as a whole. I got to be real with you. It would work. As mad as it would make me about being a Michigan fan, as mad as it would make me that you took an uncharted shot at the quarterback of the university that I root for or I cover or whatever, there would also be something in the back of my mind saying, is he wrong? Because we as fans, because listen, people in media are also fans. No one gets into sports and they're not a fan of the thing that they're covering. It doesn't happen. But is he right? Because, Joe, again, we saw a quarterback this spring whose footwork I did not see get better. But I still think he's got it. I still think that he is one of the better quarterbacks if he's able to do the things necessary. Footwork, accuracy, understanding coverages. I mean, Joe, Texas just confused the ever-living you-know-what out of him, and he kept throwing picks. So I do wonder if we're not in an old-fashioned two things are true at the same time situation here. And that's what I do think that we are, because we've also seen this. In reference to Eric Weddle, you're not a player anymore. You're not an analyst anymore. Your son was being recruited and was on those sidelines, and you got to take a different angle to it. I'm never going to tell someone to not be truthful. But man, you got to put your dad hat on. You got to put your dad hat on, because Joe, you basically in a nutshell just ended the recruitment for your son at Michigan. As long as Bryce Underwood is there, you've ended it. Because that kid can't walk in that locker room. The only way that that young man could walk back in that locker room is if Bryce Underwood gets benched. It's the only way. So, Joe, I don't know if Eric's just not right. You know, like I don't know if he's saying that the progress inside the pocket's not there. So, like, what happens if we clean up what he said? His footwork's not there. His timing's not there. He's got to be better inside the pocket. What are the three things that you and I have been talking about all offseason with him? Those are literally the three things that we've been talking about. So, again, I do think that there's truth to what he's saying, but you got to understand how you need to say it there too.
But my point with this is that I think that we need to pay close attention to the messenger here, because you and I speaking on and evaluating Bryce Underwood's footwork and his struggles with his development and his growth as a player, as well as his upside. We're coming from an unbiased perspective.
I mean, if anyone
don't have
it about him, it should be me. And I've never done that. I mean, because he left the school that I covered, you know, like, I mean, I'm with you.
I am a Notre Dame fan. That's the only way that a bias could flow into this, but I have defended Bryce Underwood. I've probably defended Bryce Underwood out of anybody in the media. So there is no bias that's coming from here, because, Blake, this show, the purpose of the show, even though sometimes it leaks in, we have to remain as neutral as possible.
Right.
Weddle has a very different type of bias that comes into play here. It is not a fandom bias, because as you just said, everybody who covers this sport or any sport, you get into it because you fell in love with a team that you grew up watching, and you're still going to have inherently that deep love for that team, no matter how hard you try to pull away from it to be as neutral as possible. It's always going to be there. He's got no ill will towards Michigan, but I find it really hard to believe that there isn't some sort of like a weird dynamic here with how he is observing practices because his kid is getting recruited by Michigan. And
I'm actually kind of like weirded. I didn't know this when I was reading the comments and listening to the clip. And I listened to the clip. I went back and rewatched it. And then I went and wrote down everything that he said and from the transcripts and the articles that had covered it. And I didn't even know that his son is technically an athlete recruit. He's not a quarterback recruit. So it's almost like this weird angle of my son's not getting the respect that he deserves as a quarterback recruit. So therefore, I'm taking a shot at another guy who's not really meant to be playing quarterback. That was literally what his words were, is that I don't think he could throw or play quarterback. That's why I think that his perspective is incredibly biased in the worst way possible. It sounds weirdly jealous, like that AAU dad that would randomly start being weird about another kid outperforming his son. That's what it feels like to me. That was how I read it. If his kid wasn't getting recruited, I think I'd be interpreting this a lot differently, but that's not the case.
Take his kid out of it for just a moment. Is his words accurate?
Yeah, because we've said this.
But, well, wait, hold on. Wait. Hold on.
His words on four steps backward. We took the sentiment of the concern over Bryce Underwood's performance. Yes, it's accurate that he does need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not accurate to jump to the conclusion that a former number one overall recruit is going to get benched. Quinn Ewers was ass for so many times, but eventually he caught a rhythm. He still wasn't great, but he still caught a rhythm eventually.
And here's another thing. The head coach been comparing him to Cam Newton all offseason too. Can I tell you something that the kid needs? I'm glad if I'm Whittingham, can I tell you what? I actually like this. Because all Bryce Underwood has gotten his entire life is that he's the best at everything. 24/7, 365. Hey, buddy. You got shizite you got to work on. You got some shizite you got to work on. Go do it. Because if you clean up your footwork and sit inside the pocket and understand coverages, you're going to be elite. I kind of like this for him in a way. You know what you're going to see too? How serious do you take this offseason?
He's posted on his Instagram story too.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
of course he did. I don't want that. You know what if I'm Kyle Whittingham, if I'm the quarterback's coach, you know what I'm doing? I'm printing that out and I'm putting it in this locker and saying, don't take it down. See it every day. So I kind of like it a little bit. It gives me you can use negativity to your advantage if you channel it right. All right. Couple of super chats here. Elks with a $5 super chat says, is Bryce Wonderwood overrated? Is water wet? Is the sky blue? Duh. Y'all dodged a bullet at LSU, Blake. Dudes, a meme. Also, Chaz got kicked off.
All right. So you and I texted about covering this.
He has not
been kicked
off at the current
moment. No, it does not seem like that was the case. It was a former coach that was on a radio show.
Said that he had been told that he had been kicked off. A to Z says, wrote the report saying, hey, this coach is reporting that he had been kicked off. I hate that for A to Z when you actually dig into it. You know, like, you're just saying that this coach is out here reporting that this kid got kicked off. You should have vetted it more I get it. You should have vetted it more, but
yeah, it was merely an aggregate. It was a lot of people took it as Zach, who wrote it, as him reporting on it, and it was just an aggregation of comments that were made. So I think that there was like a misreaction to
correct
the commentary on it. But I'm curious to see what happens with Chaz, because it's kind of been weird with Chaz Coleman, because he's doing the money spreads and shit on his Instagram, and apparently he's got serious health issues, but he's over here doing money spreads on his Instagram. So it's like, dude, do you have serious problems, or are you just dicking around? I don't know.
Can I throw this your way? this has nothing to do with Chance Coleman anymore. If I'm a Tennessee fan, this has absolutely zero to do with Chaz Coleman. Can I tell you why? Every single little thing. How many times is this going to happen? You let Jordan Ross walk. And Joe, I saw him every day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Boo Carter, Chaz Coleman, Nico Iamalava. They don't fear you. They don't fear you. So let me just tell you something. You know, I told you this off camera. Everybody looks at like Kiffin as an example, and I'll use him so no one will get mad. I saw Kiffin yelling at dudes. I never thought that that would ever happen. Calling them and saying stuff to them, I'm like, dang, no way that dude's saying that. Flabbergasted. They fear him to some extent. Like, hey, man, the whole social media, like this dude, one, I can't say it on the, one player called him a word that cannot be reused here. And it was like, oh, this son of a gun's crazy. He's in people's domes. He's in their face. It's the most opposite Pete Carroll, Nick Saban. And then they run a right route. Then he's Pete Carroll all over again. And I'm like, dude, they don't fear you.
No, Heupel, his control and ability to manage his team is starting to really crack. And we talked about this when the whole report came up on Coleman. So,
right. Alex also says Texas used San Jose State as an excuse last year.
Well, wait, to be fair, I don't know if this was him trying to take a shot at San Jose State. San Jose State game was kind of big and kind of good for them growing as a team. They needed to play these bad opponents in order to go through the growing pains of getting better.
With all due respect, Joe, I'm sorry. And boy, we're going to hear it in the Discord. Please don't come at me when your team that you love also starts off the season with Ball State. Okay? Don't.
Everyone's playing easy opponents.
Everyone.
Texas is a harder schedule than Ohio State does.
I mean, I agree. But please stop. Indiana doesn't play a P4 opponent until a month into the season.
I don't think Texas Tech does either, if we're counting
Oregon State. Which, they're not P4. Shout out to the Pac-12. Both teams in the Pac-12 had to eliminate themselves in the baseball tournament in their regional.
Did they?
They did. Washington State and Oregon State had to play each other. Oregon State won. But, again, please stop. Please stop. This is one thing that the SEC – if there is one thing the SEC does – have over the Big Ten at the exact moment, it is out of conference opponents. I mean, it's not deniable. Like, so get mad at it, but don't say that when you're playing Ball State week one, when you're playing Marshall week one. I also saw a Georgia team 4 years ago with Stetson Bennett struggled to get past the 50. And all of a sudden, by week 13, people were saying, is this the best defense in the 21st century? So, again, I'm sorry, Joe, but I just – that really bugs the you-know-what out of me. All right.
All right.
See y'all tomorrow. Peace.